Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We are studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. Avoid evil no matter the cost. People very often underestimate their sin, feeling good that they did not do something worse. Although God said the wages of sin is death, a lot of people miscalculate those wages. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27-28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What did Jesus say? Well, first, he reminded of the seventh commandment in verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Again, the rabbis focused on only the external act of sin. And then he places the sin in its greater context. Verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus makes clear the actual intent of the law. Sin of the heart is just as serious as the actual act itself. Adultery within the heart is a very real thing, and it disrupts our relationship with the Lord. Psalm 66 and verse 18, King David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Not only is the act of adultery a sin, but the appetite for it is also sinful. Lusting after the forbidden fruit is the beginning place for the sin. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. It's like the serpent tempting Eve in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Adultery locates in the eye and the heart first, and then the act is committed. If the lust is dwelt upon and the desire is approved, it's a done deal. Someone wrote that the eye and the heart are the true brokers of sin. If married, adultery is the term for the sin of sexual relations with a person other than your spouse. God's word refers to sex between those persons as fornication. Those who are not married as fornication. Those where one of the two are married, or both of them are married, but with someone other than their spouse, that's adultery. Sex between two persons who aren't married is fornication. It's sin. God has given sex for the marriage union. The word heart is the Bible's description of the inner man. The mind, the will, the emotions. It's not, when the Bible refers to heart, it's not necessarily referring to the center of our blood circulation. It's talking about our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. In verses 29 and 30, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, pluck it off and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Both ways, looking at a woman to lust after her, or looking at a woman to get her to lust. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Jesus is referring to the continual looking rather than a casual glance due to the attraction. It really comes down to imagining. Corrupt glances. Eyes and hands are the primary offenders in sexual sin. If it's not possible to restrain them, then it's better not to possess them, is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not promoting mutilation of the body, but the control of the body against sin. Listen, if you play with fire, you will get burned. Self-denial is better than dwelling in hell for all of eternity. The hell in verses 29 and 30 is the word Gehenna. The same as in verse 22. There are three hells that are referred to in the Bible. First of all, there's Tartarus, which is that place where some of the angels, the fallen angels, are chained awaiting judgment. There's Hades, where the wicked dead are now awaiting judgment, or will be those who die, where the wicked dead await judgment. And then there's Gehenna, the lake of fire. That's the eternal place of punishment. So, what is the grave? Well, the grave is the physical place where dead bodies are buried. That's what's there in the grave, is dead bodies or just bones. If sexual sin condemns an unbeliever to the lake of fire, listen. If sexual sin condemns an unbeliever to the lake of fire, then it's clearly wrong for Christians to engage in this behavior. Jesus is saying that his followers must take drastic action to avoid thoughts and actions that lead to temptation. Well, but what? Well, first, make a covenant with your eyes. Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The imagery there is put on some blinders, figurative blinders, like on a workhorse who only is able to look straight ahead and is not distracted by the things from the sides. You're called to put on them in a figurative way, to be focused. So make a covenant with your eyes. Second, take control of your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that's not consistent with the truth of God's Word, grab that and bring it under control. It's like those invisible fences that are used for training and controlling particularly dogs. They have these invisible fences, and so when the the dog begins the training, he has this collar on that when he gets too close to the fence area, the invisible fence area, it tightens. And he doesn't like that, so he backs away. And over time, he learns where the boundaries are. And he learns not to go beyond the boundaries. We need to develop boundaries in our lives by taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When we see when we have a thought that's not consistent with God's word, it's like approaching that invisible fence. And we need to take control of it so that it can't take control of us. And then third, seek God's grace and depend on it daily. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God wants us to come there. He wants us to come there confidently when we need His mercy and when we need grace, particularly in a time of need. But we need grace to live this life. You see, forgiveness is possible when we sin. Forgiveness is possible with true repentance. You have a great day.